Tonight, I love the passage of scripture we get to talk about tonight because it kind of encapsulates the whole deal of what Maywood is about. So we're in Ephesians chapter 2, and if you were with us last week, we're talking about how everybody is saved by grace. None of us show up and deserve something from God. God chooses to reach out to us. Okay, so that's what we talked about last week, but we're going to pick up kind of on the same spot. So let me grab a Bible. We're in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6. If you want to turn there. I want to dive into this passage, and then I'm going to tell you a couple of stories from last week, some failure and some success for me, okay? So hopefully we can jump into that. But verse 6 says, right after it says, it's by grace you've been saved. It says, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Jesus in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. So it's just two verses and three different times he says, in Jesus, in Jesus, in Jesus. So the deal is to get started before you do anything with God, before you make any real progress in your life, God's plan is for you to accept grace, accept the fact that, like, I can't do it on my own. God, I need your help. And I want good things in my life through Jesus. Because the gift, it says, that God has to give us, it comes through Jesus. That the riches of his grace, his kindness to us. Jesus in John 17, he describes eternal life, and he describes it as having the connection that he has with God the Father, that relationship with God. That's what's full. What is full life. So the thing that's offered to each one of us, the thing that we're chasing, that we have a hunger for, it's found in Jesus. But I love the language here. It says specifically that God picked us up out of the mud and sat us with Jesus in the good places. The reality is a lot of us, we're running so hard trying to fix ourselves, trying to fix somebody else, trying to do a bunch of stuff and get a bunch of stuff. And this passage starts out, and really our whole journey with Jesus, it starts off with sitting down and accepting what God has given you. Watchman Nee, this incredible Christian from China, he wrote this itty bitty book on Ephesians, and it's called Sit, Walk, Stand. And one of the points of that book is you got to sit with Jesus before you can do anything else. You got to stop trying so hard to fix yourself and to fix all your stuff. You got to sit down and say, Jesus, I need something from you. I'm here to receive and to hang out with you. And that's not something that you just do one time. If any of you guys have worked the 12 steps, the people that really have success long term, they keep working those steps. It's not like they just do step one once, and they're like, okay, a while ago I was powerless, but now I'm fine. They keep working those steps, right? And as a Christian, you don't just get to the spot where you need to sit down and receive from Jesus, and you fill up, and then you're done. Every single day, you need to sit down and realize Jesus has done all the hard work. God's given you what you need already in Jesus. A lot of us go wrong as we start running and trying to do stuff on our own, and we haven't spent the time with God that day. Because if you haven't gotten anything from God today, don't worry about trying to give something to somebody else. You don't have anything to give if God hasn't put it in your hands. Jesus himself says, only my Father gives good gifts. Basically, every good gift comes from above. So if you want to give something good to somebody else, you got to receive from God first. Let's look at these next couple verses here. So then in verse 8, in case we've forgotten, he says, for it is by grace you've been saved. So again, God did it for you. There's nobody here that deserves it. If you used last night, then that same grace is available for you that's there for somebody that's been coming to this church for 80 years. Okay? Jesus wants to start with you right now, and it's based on what he did, not on what you did. So that's that part of the verse. For it's by grace you've been saved. But there is a part for us. Our part, it says, through faith. Think about a time in your life where you did have faith in God. Faith means you can't see something, but you go ahead and do it. If I had a faith that there was an invisible step right here, I would just step off, you know, but I don't have that faith, right? So I don't actually move, right? Sometimes people, I talked to a couple of different people this week, relapsing, and they were scared to do the next thing in front of them. Because it takes faith, right? And nobody should judge that. We should see that, like, whatever our next step is with God, it's probably going to take some faith on our part. There's something we can't see, something that's not easy for us to do. And that's how we open up to God's grace. We take a step of faith, and then that's where we're in the spot where God's grace comes into our life, right? Every single one of us could take a bigger step in faith tonight. It might be going to detox. It might be talking to your neighbor, Rixie Adams. I don't know if she's in the parking lot right now. Rixie, if you listen to that interview in that podcast, she started talking to her neighbors. She started meeting her neighbors. Stuff that she'd never done before, of really talking to them, interacting with them. She's got a couple of them coming over to her porch for coffee now, and she said, I'm just going to build a relationship with them. I'm not going to lay into it too heavy about God to start. I'm just going to, like, get to know them, and then God will come in along the way. But that was a step of faith for Rixie to do that, right? Every single one of us could take a step of faith to open up to more of God's grace, right? So let's keep reading here. It says, and this is not from yourselves, in case you missed that. It says it's a gift from God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Paul is saying the same stuff over and over, right? But he's saying it's a gift from God. A lot of times we get so stressed out in life, we get so wore out in life, there's so much craziness around us, and we stop thinking that things are a gift, right? We start thinking life is so hard, we can't do it, or we wish everybody else would change. But the life that God has for you, it's supposed to be defined as a gift. You're supposed to view it as God has a gift for you today. If you have the faith to unwrap that gift, he will do the rest, right? So some people get a little uncomfortable with this passage, these verses I've read, because they think, like, oh, this is too heavy on the grace. It makes it sound like it's too easy. It makes it sound like we don't have to do anything or change. But the nice thing about the Bible is if you read enough of it, truth, right? Get the full idea. So we're going to read on a little bit further today, and we'll keep reading in Ephesians as we go. But it says all this stuff about it's not by works. It's not by earning it. It's not by accomplishing something. But then listen to what it says in verse 10. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. I want to break that down real slow. We're God's handiwork. You get this idea that God makes you just like a master carpenter makes something out of wood, right? Fit all the pieces together. You do it exactly how you want it to be. You know it in and out. God made Matt in and out, right? God made Josh in and out. All the details, right? God made Shane. God made Tracy. And sometimes you might have questions about, like, God, why did you make me this way? Or God, I don't want to be this way or that way. But God chose all the different parts that he put into you. And then it says here that he's created you to do good works. Something I just realized today, I was reading in this book, and it was talking about God is a worker. And I never really thought about it in that terminology before, but Jesus in John 5:17, he talks about that God is always at work. And so we're made in God's image. We've all worked hard enough, at least for a few hours, to have that satisfaction of doing something that was hard but good, right? We've all done that before. Even if you're a lazy person, you've done that at some point in your life. Man, that was hard, but man, look at that thing I made. Look at that good stuff that got done. God's like that. When we're working, we're reflecting him. And there's the chance to even work like him, right? He actually wants us to work right next to him, like a father and a son are working on a project together. And just like when a father and son are working together, a lot of times if the kid is not very old, the dad will kind of set the kid up for success, right? he'll do 95% of the work, and then let the kid do the last little piece, and he'll kind of hold his hand while he's doing it, right? Because he's teaching as he goes, right? And little by little, the kid's able to do more and more and more. This verse makes this awesome promise that God has prepared already a destiny for you. He's already set you up to take the game-winning shot today. He's already set you up for something today. There's some job that's ready to go with literally with your name on it. And it, again, it doesn't matter what you've done in the past. If today you said, Jesus, I'm going to sit with you and accept your grace. I know I can't do it on my own. And then, Jesus, what do you want me to do? What's something good I can do? And maybe the good that you can do seems really small to someone else. But if it's good that God asks you to do, then that's plenty, right? A couple weeks ago, I had a really busy day. This is just random thought. I came to my head. I had a really busy day. But I did spend some time going for a walk right around this neighborhood. And I prayed. And as I was walking, I felt like Jesus told me, write a card to one of your friends and write a passage we talked about in Ephesians. Write this prayer out to them to help them with something. And the next day, I was talking to another friend of mine, and I said, I had a really busy day yesterday. I did all sorts of stuff. But I said, but honestly, I only did one thing that I felt like God told me to do. There's only one thing that I really listened long enough to hear God tell me to do, and it honestly, it only took me 5-10 minutes to do it. But now, 2 weeks later, I can't even remember most of the stuff I did that day. But that card that I wrote, that person I wrote it to, has already come back to me and talked to me about how God moved powerfully in their life and how it was awesome, and we got to celebrate it together. And I realized, wow, the only good thing I really did that day was 5 minutes long. And I wish I would have listened a little longer and done a little more inspired by God. But even just 5 minutes of doing God's work can change somebody around you. It can be very powerful because you're working with God. You know, it's like Michael Jordan's on your team suddenly. You know, like things are going to change. You know, like things are different all of a sudden in that moment. So what about for you? Have you had that sort of faith to say, I'm going to sit with God until I receive something, and then I'm going to be looking for something good to do? I want to tell you two stories, if I don't fall off the truck, two stories, and then I want to kind of challenge us to respond. So my two stories, my first one is probably going to be Eric Gosse's favorite. He likes when I tell stories where I fail. Eric likes those, where I'm a real person and mess up. So this one, had another long day and was busy, was working on a lot of stuff, and was wore out. It's the end of the night. It's about 9 o'clock. I've been working up at my house in our little office. I came downstairs ready to kind of just like vent to Christy about like, it's been a crummy day and somebody had relapsed. I was all stressed out about stuff. And the doorbell rings. And we had just gotten Samuel and Sequoia, our 3-year-old twins, like down to bed and they were asleep, which is a big deal, you know, like for the household, like when the kids are totally asleep. The work's done, like it's nice. So then the doorbell rings at like 9:15 at night, and I'm angry, to be honest. Like I go to the door angry, and I'm thinking like maybe it's my neighbors across the street or this really sweet couple who are probably watching right now. But so I thought maybe it's them. I open the door and it is a salesman, literally at 9:15. And I was mad. And so I didn't cuss him out or anything like that, but I was a jerk to him, right? Just very rude to him. And so whole interaction was about 15 seconds long. And I shut the door. I sit back down next to Chrissy. And she's not giving me a very good look because she heard the whole conversation. And I said I was rude, wasn't I? Which I already knew the answer to that. So then I thought, so here's what I got to go do. So I went out the door. I looked down the street. The guy's still walking down the street. So I went out down the street barefoot, called out to him, apologized. He starts telling me more story, and I'm thinking like, I don't want a second sales pitch. I gotta be careful. And so then I just repeated my apology and I left. And when it was totally done, when I actually stopped to pray later, which I didn't do at any point during the whole thing, I realized even when I went out there to apologize to him, I was still trying. It was still about me. I was trying to be right. I was trying to make sure, like, okay, like, I messed up, so the right thing for me to do is to go apologize. But I honestly still did not care about this guy. He was describing some crummy stuff in his life. You know, sorry, my boss really makes me stay out until I get so many sales. honestly, like I didn't care. I wasn't considerate. And so then what I saw is, so I was rude to a guy, and then I apologized just to like justify myself, just to like try to like get the check mark back on the good side, right? And that's that whole deal that I described there. A lot of us live our lives that way. We try not to mess up, and then when we do mess up, we try to make it right on our own steam. And that's not God's plan. That is not at all what this passage is talking about. Because there was no love in me at any point. I was angry, and then I was self-absorbed. And neither one of those, I was self-absorbed the whole time. I was angry and not angry. But when you're self-absorbed in your heart, there's no Jesus room there. That's what Jesus came to set us free from, right? So, honestly, I didn't get another chance with that salesman. And that's the way chances go. So that's the crazy thing about God. God sets something up for us, I believe, every single day. And he lets us whiff. Like, there are a lot of changed lives in this parking lot. And a lot of you could tell stories about that guy over there or that lady over there. They were there for me when I needed them. And that's why I'm here with Jesus today. Amen. There's a lot of people who aren't sitting here right now because of whiffs we made. Like, that salesman might be here today if I would have shown love in the middle of the street or even when I first answered the door, right? And not that we need everybody to be at Maywood, but we need everybody to know Jesus. So that's a crazy thing. Like, Jesus really puts the mission on us. Like, you really can mess it up and miss it. But remember what I started with? You don't have to feel all this guilt because there's still that grace, right? Jesus keeps giving us more chances, right? So the next day, there was nothing I could do about that guy. Sitting around feeling guilty about it wouldn't be good. I prayed about what I had done wrong. And then I spent some time with Jesus that morning. I went on a walk again. I prayed. So that day again was supposed to be another busy day. But while I was walking, I just felt like this peace from God. And when I was working from home this week because I do have a little bit of cough. Hope I don't freak you guys out. I'm wearing the mask. I've had a little cough all week. So I've been trying to avoid people. So I was at the house most of the time this week just working from home. When I got home, you know, things with Chrissy and Samuel and Sequoia were pretty high stress. And I just felt like God lay on my heart, like, you have time. Just hang out with them for a little bit. And that did not fit like my to-do list. But I just thought, like, I just felt some peace with it. That morning I felt some peace and decided to take a step of faith. So I did it. So Chrissy and I and the kids, we went up to Hill Park because I saw some cool looking birds up there the other day. And the kids are super into birds right now and we didn't know what to do with them. So we took them to Hill Park to look at these birds. Because we're trying to be really, you know, safe with Sequoia to keep them away from folks and stuff. So we get there to look at the birds. We wound up talking to this guy about the birds, which we weren't expecting. And instead of being all about me like I was the night before, I had spent time sitting with Jesus. And so I really saw the guy, and I really thought about what he said, and I really thought about what he might need. And I thought, if I were him, what would I want? And we got the chance to do something kind for him, like me and the kids and Chrissy. It was not a big deal, but it was a chance to be a good example for Sequoia and Samuel. And it was also a chance of just like, look, Jesus knew this guy was gonna be at Hill Park. And Jesus pushed me of like, stop trying to get so much stuff done. Just go with your family at Hill Park. And honestly, if it had just been me by myself, I don't think it would have gone as well. There's a dynamic there when you're with 2-3-year-olds looking at birds. It's easy to have a conversation, you know? It's easy to engage with somebody. And so I saw, like, that interaction went totally different. And I got to invite that guy to Maywood. I don't see him here, so I don't think he's here right now. But it was definitely a different step for that guy. Made a good move with that guy, right? So what I want you thinking about is, which type of person are you more often than not, though? Are you the self-absorbed Jake who, whether you're angry or not angry, it's really about you? The things you do are about taking care of yourself or being right in your own eyes. Or are you the type of person who, I'm gonna spend some time with Jesus today, I'm gonna listen and receive something, and I'm gonna try to be loving because Jesus has been loving to me. It's very simple. Christianity is not complicated. It really is like, listen to Jesus and follow Jesus. love God with all you have, and then love other people with something God's given you. It's really all it boils down to. So I stole this from the kids today. We've got this T-ball set, and here's my last kind of point for you guys today, is every single day, I believe God sets you up. Like there is a T sitting in your life. There is something that's going to happen, maybe even between now and when you go to bed. God has literally like set something up. It's easy for you. You're made for this opportunity. Maybe no one else is, but you are made to do this good work. And God sets it up for you today, and then he steps back and he waits to see what you'll do with it. I can remember being a little kid and going to T-ball games when I was really little. I was on this team called the Badgers. I don't know why I remember that, but what I also remember is the way I don't remember where our fields were because I never really learned it because I was like 5 or 6 or something. What I did is I just got in my parents' car and they took me to where to go. And then they handed me a bat, you know, and pushed me out there on the field. Right? That's how T-ball worked. And I remember on the way home, all sporting events for me my whole life growing up, the way home was like debrief time with dad, right? Like, let's talk strategy about how you can play better in upcoming games, right? And it wasn't too bad, though. It wasn't terrible. Like, it was enjoyable. But I remember stuff like, I got real angry at a soccer game once. I got a bunch of fouls. And my dad telling me on the way home, use your anger to win. You know, like, just, like, use that to beat them at the game. Don't, like, just be dumb and, like, get a bunch of penalties. You know, and, then, like, that is, like, strategy, how to play better. You know, just competitive strategy, basically. You know? I think that's kind of a model for us, though. Like, you're not going to get anywhere until you just get in the car with Jesus and let him take you where he wants you to go. He knows where the field is. So I know you got work this week or you got responsibilities this week, but there's going to be a time this week where, just like with me, God says, go to this place and be ready to love somebody. So you got to get in the car and go with him. And then you're going to have the tee set up and you're going to see it, right? If you've listened to him, then you'll start seeing these things set up for you. You'll see somebody that you are made to love. Might be hard, but you'll feel in your heart like that's somebody God wants me to do something for. So then you take a swing. And I can remember T-ball, sometimes I would hit this right here, you know, and it would like wah, 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 wah. You know, and the ball would just roll off. So that's gonna happen sometimes. I'm the pastor at Maywood, and I whiff or make huge mistakes or just like mess up sometimes with the opportunities God gives me. But if you are listening to God and trying, then you're going to get better. It's hard not to hit the balls off the tee, honestly. Like, it gets pretty easy. And then, when it's all said and done, take a little time with Jesus to say, how did that go? What's the strategy for next time? Take a ride home with your Heavenly Father and say, what do I do next time, God? Because he'll have pointers, right? So I was going to like hit this off the tee, but I think I'm going to like hit Bryce or hit somebody. So, yeah, I'm not going to do it. I was like, this is all Josh's. And those two Josh right there, this is all them. I could just like hit the ball at you guys, but I'm a little nervous about my T-ball skills still, what's going to happen. So here's the idea, though. God has set this up for you today. And tomorrow, he'll put a whole fresh one on there. Every single day, there'll be a fresh opportunity made just for Lester, made just for Heather. It's crazy how generous God is. And we've all burnt through a whole bunch of opportunities. But the crazy thing is, like, we're not done. Like, God's not done with us. That's why we're still here. So it's really simple what we talked about today. Is you got to sit down and you got to say, Jesus, I don't have it on my own. I need something from you. And the great thing is, like, God has the grace. You don't have to come with anything. You just say, Jesus, I need you. And Jesus will show up. And then, after you've gotten something from Jesus, then you say, where is my tea? It's coming today. I have faith that there is going to be a setup for me today, a setup to do something good, set up with a purpose. So, we don't do our traditional response times like we used to, where people come down front and we all pray over each other. We do a little differently during the parking lot stuff. We're going to be doing this all through June, and then then we'll come up with the next plan, right? But we'll be here Saturday nights in June. So I'm going to lead you guys in prayer. And how this works is I'm going to say some stuff, and then I'm going to leave a little pause. But me saying stuff doesn't make a difference in your life. You agreeing in your heart and saying it to God, that can change you, okay? So I'm going to lead us through a prayer, and then we're going to close out. And then I'll finish this off in prayer, okay? Let's bow our heads. Jesus, I believe that you love me. God, I believe you have grace for me. God, I don't deserve you, but I have faith that you want a relationship with me. Jesus, help me today to sit with you. Jesus, I believe when I sit with you, you will give me something good. Jesus, show me how to hit the ball off the tee. Show me how to use that good thing to help someone else. Jesus, we all love you and we all need you. Please take care of us. Especially, Jesus, take care of those folks who are here tonight and they need a fresh start with you, a total restart. Pray they wouldn't leave this parking lot without a fresh, clean slate with you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you're here tonight and if you're watching on Facebook, you can comment on Facebook. And if I'm not commenting on Facebook, so other Maywood people, if you jump into that. But if you need Jesus and you don't know how to get there, if you need to go to detox and you don't know how to get there, if you've been following him for a long time but you don't know what your next step is, don't leave wherever you're at right now, whether you're watching online or whether you're right here. Don't leave without asking for help, okay? I'm going to put the responsibility on Maywood people to step up when you ask. But you have to ask. That's how Jesus does it. He literally comes the whole distance, but he waits for you to open up your hand. Okay, he's a gentleman, and we're not going to cram something down your throat. You got to ask for help. But I'm telling you, together, maybe not one of us, but together we will help you, okay? So let's pray one last time. Jesus, thank you that we get to be a church because of what you did. Jesus, please watch over our city. Please change us, God. I pray that we would become a community that's whole, where we love everybody, where there is peace and understanding amongst everybody. Jesus, I pray you would change us to be your ambassadors. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen.